Amen. Amen. Please be seated. If you don't know that he'll fix it after a while, I just stopped by this morning to let you know that he can.
Amen.
It's good to see each and every one of you. I hope and pray all is well with you. I want to welcome those of you that are visiting this morning here at the Apple Valley Church of Christ. We want you to know that you are honored guests.
Amen.
I want to encourage you as we investigate the Word of God that you may ask some questions in reference to your soul salvation. It is no accident that you have come this way.
Amen.
I don't believe in accidents. I believe in the providence of God.
Amen.
So God sent you this way for me to tell you some things about what you need to do.
Amen.
And I want to be true to what he has called me to do. In 1 Peter chapter 4, around about verse 11 and following, Peter says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And if any man ministers, let him do it with the ability that God supplieth, that in all things God might be glorified. So my job is to proclaim the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And one must obey from the heart, Romans chapter 10, verse 17, the gospel. And then one must believe that this is the inspired word of God. John chapter 20 and round about verse number 30. Many other signs were done in the presence of his disciples are not written in the book. But these are written that you might believe, and believing you might have eternal life. Hebrews chapter 11 and round about verse number 6, the Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and is the rewarder of them that diligently, and I don't know about you, trouble is always in my way.
Amen.
Sometimes I cry. I mourn for us as the body of Christ. And I mourn for the world in which we live in. But I'm not worried. Because I know that Jesus, y'all don't hear me this morning, he'll fix it after a while. It may not be in my time frame. It may not be in your time frame, but I am confident based upon the word of God that Jesus will fix everything that goes on in our lives. That's why the believer has to remain steadfast and unmovable in his relationship to God. We're changing text from 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 14 and 15 to Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, where Jesus would say some words to encourage God's people and remind God's people that in the midst of everything that goes on in your life, if you make me supreme ruler of your life, I'll give you a peace that folks just will not understand.
That's right.
Philippians chapter 4 and round about verse 4 and following, he said, I'll give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. So in the midst of my trials and tribulations, when Sister Harmon don't know what's going on in my life and my kids don't understand, I have a peace that surpasses understanding because I know Jesus said, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden. And I, see, that's what I like about Jesus, because if he gives me rest, I ain't worried about yours.
Right.
He says, and I will give you rest. But there's some things you got to do in order to get the rest that comes from Jesus Christ. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul.
Amen.
For my yoke, anybody burdened down this morning?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you don't have to raise your hand. I know that you know that I know that God knows that I know that you know. You got some burdens.
Amen.
And I'm learning that if you put them where they belong, he'll lift the burden off of you. That's why you ought to be the most happiest folk on the face of the earth.
Amen.
Boy, you ought to look like the Joker this morning.
Amen.
Oh, come on, y'all. Work with me this morning. Because Jesus says, if you come unto me and take my yoke, I'll give you rest. It's an invitation that Jesus offered to each and every one of us. An invitation to where he says, come. And I don't know about you, I had to learn what this word actually meant. I thought it just meant come when you feel like it. Come when you got a moment to spare. But this word here goes on much deeper than that. Jesus is offering an invitation to every man, woman, boy, and girl that has some trials and tribulations, that don't understand which way to head. Jesus says, you come to me, and I'll give you the rest that you're looking for. You know, I want you to walk with me for just a few minutes. You just got a letter in the mail. This letter says you're approved. Not pre-approved. Approved.
Okay.
Guaranteed. Costs you absolutely nothing. I'm going to wipe out every problem you have. But you got to come. And like most folk, what's the catch? Huh? Ain't that us?
Yeah.
But this morning, Jesus wants you to come. And he has a, don't open it up. Don't open it up, just come. And this morning, I want to show you that Jesus has something to offer us. Just like if you were to get this, not pre-approved, but approval in the mail. The first thing you want to do is investigate what's it all about. Isn't that right? That's right. Boy, you're going to call Lottie, Dottie, and everybody to make sure that what people are offering you is what is really going to transpire. So in the process of the invitation. Yeah, see, I know my class. My class is going to already be had for you in front of me. But he asks you to come. And as you get a pre-approval, you know, you're going to do everything that most people are going to do. You're going to raise any questions in reference to. Let me have one. Okay. That's three. I need one more.
Here's some.
Okay. But in this pre-approval, Jesus says, come. And so you do all the investigation, and then it comes to what you have to do. Jesus says, come unto me all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, Christ understood and was willing to be obedient to his Father's, to the Master's plan to redeem man back to himself so he may have eternal life. Come unto me all that labor and are heavy laden. Jesus wants us to come, but there's some things, some prerequisites in order to come.
All right, now.
Open up here. And you see, as you come, what's the first thing you see?
Obedience.
Before obedience, you got to see the cross. You've got to see the cross.
Okay.
You can see obedience, suffering, and joy all day long. Until you see the cross and the purpose of that cross, obedience means absolutely nothing. Suffering means absolutely nothing. Joy means nothing. You have to see the man that left the riches of heaven, came down, suffered, died, bled on a cross for you. And until you see it, the rest of this means absolutely nothing. But like most of us, we don't see obedience, suffering, and joy. We see joy, a little suffering, and I'll obey when it's available. Isn't that us? Somebody say amen if you can. Because I know. But I want to show you this morning that in order for you to really get the rest that Jesus has to offer, you got to learn how to be obedient first and foremost to God. And when you're obedient to God, guess what? Everything else falls right into play. Jesus was the example of obedience. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. The Bible says, although he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Then being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Jesus understood what obedience meant. It meant that God was willing to sacrifice him for you.
All right, now.
And see, until you see the cross, and the cross is ever present before you, you will never ever be obedient to what thus saith the Lord. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. Jesus says, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself, deny your very existence. If you want to follow Jesus Christ, you got to get out of the way, and then you got to come to him just like you are. He said, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his
cross.
See? Until you see the cross, you'll never see Jesus. Because see, when you see the cross, you understand the purpose of the cross. That cross was to reconcile sinful man back to Jehovah. Genesis chapter 1, when he made man, he made us in his image. He said, it's not good for man to be alone. And I'm so glad he made woman.
All right.
Some of y'all missed that.
Okay.
But the Bible says he told them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Genesis chapter 2, the following, and chapter 3, man messed up.
Uh-oh.
Amen. Genesis chapter 6, God said, I repent that I ever made man. But he knew that man needed a way back to him. Why? Because we're made in his image. And I don't know, when you make something in your image, don't you have a little pride in it? Don't you care about it? You want to nurture it? Genesis chapter 3 and around about verse number 15, he prepares Jesus Christ to come into the world to sacrifice his life. Jesus says in John chapter 6 verse 38, I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. John chapter 9 and verse number 4, I must work the work of him who sent me while it is day, for the night shall come when no man can work. Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 28, Jesus said, I came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give my life a ransom for many. And in John chapter 8 and round about verse number 29, Jesus says, I always do the things that please my Father. Why? Because Jesus understood what the cross meant. He understood that there was a pain and some agony on the cross. But he knew that you and I needed a way back to his Father.
Amen.
So he was willing to sacrifice. The Bible said when he was reviled, he opened not his mouth. When he was persecuted, said not a mumbling word. And when he stood before old Pontius Pilate, Pilate declared unto him, you hear not what the people say? I have the power to set you free or to crucify you. That's why I serve God, because Jesus said, thou hast no power over me except it be given thee from above. Do you know what that means to me? I'm hell. Well, y'all don't hear me this morning. Nothing has power over me but Jehovah. And when I surrender my will to Satan, then that's when God turns away from me.
Okay.
But as long as I walk in the light as he is in the light, church, we have a power that is out of this world. You think the power's in the White House? Boy, I just stopped by to tell you this morning, no, the power, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, right about verse number 7, the power is in earthen. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. It's in earthen vessels. The power of God rests in us. That's why, church, we ought to be the most excited, the most happiest, the most motivated folk on the first of the age. Why? Because the power of God rests upon us. For what purpose? To seek and save the lost. For what purpose? Keep ourselves unspotted from the world. What purpose? So when trials and tribulations come upon us, we're not like most people. I don't give up hope. I have hope and trust that what God said he was going to do. Hebrews chapter 13 and round about verse number 5. Keep yourself free from the love of money. Be content with such things as you have. For God has said, and if God said it, I sure ain't going to listen to you.
Okay.
Amen, Walls. God has said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. So with confidence. I don't know about you. I got confidence in my God. I got confidence that no matter what transpires in my life, the God of heaven said, I'll be there with you. As long as you do my will. That's why when my teeth fall out and my hair becomes bald and my children and my wife no longer has anything to do with it, I have a guarantee from God himself that I won't look at the outward part, but I'll look at the heart itself. And church, that's what drives me. That's what motivates me, to know that I serve a God that holds the world in the hollow of his hand.
That's right.
And he said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't even tell you. That's who I serve. He said, the world is mine and the fullness thereof. I don't need a goat from your pen or a bull from your... Boy, that's what I like about God. And that's who I serve. What do you want me to do, God? Be steadfast. Be unmovable. Be always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I'm not worried about tomorrow because I know who holds tomorrow. I'm not worried about today. Because Paul says, for when this earthly house of this tabernacle be destroyed, I'm not worried about it. I have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So when I'm laying out here stretching, you crying, weep for yourself. Because I'm going to go on to glory to be with my God. And see, that's the confidence that you got to have on this time side of life. Boy, we walk around as if there's no hope. Afraid of our own shadows. But when you understand who hangs the stars, who put that moon up there, who helps you to stay on this earth and you ain't floating, when you understand who that is, man, you don't worry about tomorrow because you know who holds tomorrow in the hollow of his hand. Jesus says, I've always do the things that please my Father. In Matthew chapter 11, once again, I want to read this text because I believe somewhere down the line that when you have done all that you can do, you need to turn to Jesus. Ever been to that point?
Yes.
Ever been to that point to where everything you tried has just been a mess?
Yes.
You tried women, wine, weed, the world, and it just has not worked.
Amen.
Why not try Jesus? And that's what he's saying here in this text. He says in verse number 28, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. An invitation from the Master. This invitation that God extends to you and I, first and foremost, be an invitation to where we're willing to be obedient to what he's called us for. He's called us out of darkness into a marvelous light. Those of us who are members of the body of Christ, we need to understand that we must be obedient to God regardless of what the world around us start to dictate to us. But see, obedience comes when an individual is willing to surrender his will to the will of the Father. And I'm learning that when I do things God's way, you ever notice that? When you do it his way, boy, it just seemed like the whole weight of the... Y'all don't have that? Y'all looking at me like, what are you talking about? Because I'm free because of Christ Jesus. See, the invitation requires, first and foremost, obedience. Obedience comes when an individual is willing to suffer for the cause of Christ. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. See, obedience, one must understand, brings about suffering. See, I'm learning that when you are obedient to God, you're going to suffer some things on this time side of life. But in the midst of our suffering, we must never become discouraged to the point to where we're willing to give up and forget about what life is really all about. In Psalms 95 and round about verse number 1, listen to these words that come from the psalmist. David, the Bible said, was a man after God's own heart, a man that understood God, a man that messed up constantly. But when he messed up, he was willing to repent and get back on the right track. He was willing to do the will of the Father. And so in the midst of his trials and tribulations, when everything around David was going bad, David understood that God was there for him.
Amen.
The Bible says in Psalms 95 and round about verse number 2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. The psalmist understood the importance of serving God and doing what God required of him. The psalmist understood that in order to come to God, there must be a level of understanding of what God has for each and every one of us. Church, why be in this thing and don't make heaven your home? It don't make no sense to me. Huh? Does that make any sense to you?
No.
Why stay at a job and you're miserable? See, I know where to hit you at because I know that's where you're at. You know? And if it ain't making enough money, what you gonna do? Huh? You're gonna go into another job. And if that one don't work, you're gonna work 2-3 jobs. Yep. No? No? Y'all ain't gonna work 2-3 jobs. And maybe it's not the job that you need to do. Maybe you need to try something different. See, obedience comes when an individual is willing to humble himself and trust God and take God at his word. See, obedience is something that one must learn. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. The Bible said, although he was a son, he learned obedience. How? By the things that he suffered. In the midst of our trials and tribulations, that's when we learn how to be obedient. And see, and obedience brings about suffering. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and round about verse number 12, Peter here writes these words to the believer and reminds the believer that if you're going to live for Jesus Christ, you have to have a certain mindset. And I'm learning that. I'm learning that if I'm going to really do what God wants me to do, my mind is not the same as Jesus Christ. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also where? In Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was willing to what? Emptying himself out and take on the form of a servant. See, I'm learning that obedience requires me to be a servant. That requires me to wash feet. Who wants to wash dirty, smelly feet? But see, that's a level of humility. And the more we humble ourselves, the more God will be able to exalt us. See, the more we are willing to be obedient to the will of the Father, then we understand that that obedience is going to bring about a certain amount of suffering. Girl, you're looking at me funny. I'm going to show you something. Second Timothy chapter 3 and round about verse number 12, Peter says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Maybe that's why it's so hard for us to be Christians, huh? Maybe that's why we really don't want to live up to what... I'm just asking some questions, but if I'm down the street, how you doing? Now, maybe that's why it's such a difficult task. But see, if you're going to live for Jesus Christ, you're going to be ridiculed. Oh, yeah. I can count friends that I got. You know why? Because to live for Jesus Christ, we got to be able to tell one another when we're wrong. Amen. We got to be able to build one another up and encourage one another. And so Peter says, all that desire is to live godly in this present world will suffer persecution. And in the midst of our suffering and our persecution, we become joyous. We become motivated. We become enthused because we understand who's really in control of our everyday lives. Church, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 1, the Bible says, therefore, since we have this ministry, we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, committing ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves servants for Jesus' sake, for whom our commandments, the light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure. I just told you about the power. The power's in us. Do you not realize you can change people's lives? Amen. Y'all didn't realize that? It ain't about money. It ain't about what you possess. But if you have the spirit that comes from God, you can help folks through difficult times. That's right. You can relate to people and have people understand that in the midst of everything that goes on, you hold to God's unchanging hand. Right. And I guarantee you, he will help you through your difficult times. Paul says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side. Isn't that the song we just got through singing?
Right.
We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal bodies. For we which live always are delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. And we have the same spirit of faith. That's powerful. To know that the apostles had a spirit and I got the same measure. To where in the midst of everything that goes on, the God of heaven takes the time to hear me. And I don't know about you, that excites me. Because I know where I came from. I know how I used to be. And I know how I will be if you push the wrong button. That's why I cut all the buttons off. So I can remain what God says I ought to be. He says in verse number 13, we have the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believe, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For these things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving be renowned to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not.
Amen.
But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light afflictions is but for a moment, which worketh for us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Church, I hope and pray that as we start to look at this text for the next few months, that you'll stop and think about the yoke that Jesus has placed upon each and every one of us. If you've obeyed from the heart the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God has placed upon you the responsibility to seek and save the lost. He's replaced upon you the responsibility to show the world that in the midst of everything that goes on, I can be happy. I can be joyous. I can be steadfast. Why? Because of who I am and who I serve. And church, I want to encourage you as members of the body of Christ, don't stand before the judgment seat of God and have nothing to say. I don't know about you in that day of judgment. I don't plan to say nothing. I plan to let my works and my faithfulness and my obedience speak for itself. Sounds like a character. Does your character speak for itself? Huh? If I was to ask your next door neighbor, what did you think about this so-and-so? What would they answer be? Huh? Because see, church, we are the light of the world. We are the ones that the world needs to see. That in the midst of all of the chaos, God has a remnant of folks that are steadfast and unmovable in what they believe in. And in conclusion, Jesus says, come unto me and I will give you rest. It requires you and I to take our yoke upon him and learn of him. Those of you that are visiting this morning, I want to encourage you to raise some questions about your soul salvation. You're here not by accident. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17 says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You've heard the word of God this morning. The question is, do you believe it?
Believe.
John chapter 20 and verse number 30. Hebrews 11 and verse number 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And see, when I look at that passage of scripture alone, it gives me the confidence to know, just like David said, I was young, now I'm old. Yet, have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. You think I'm worried about my family? No. As long as they keep their hand in the hand of the man from Galilee, they'll be all right. And church, and that's what I'm trying to get us to see. And those of you that are visiting this morning, not only must you hear the word, believe it, you must be willing to repent of your sins. I know. Sometimes that's difficult. Luke 13:3, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you'll perish. The Bible says, then you must confess that he is the Son of a living God. Matthew 10:32-33. Jesus says, confess me before men, and I'll confess you before my Father. But deny me before men. And Jesus says, I'll deny you before my Father. That's an ongoing confession for the Christian. That's right. It ought not to be about how the weather is. It ought to be how you with your Jesus. But we done turned this thing around to where the weather is more important. It's so hot. Well, who made it hot? I know a place hotter than hot. Amen. And it's a mindset. It's an attitude. And then the Bible says one must be buried in water for the remission of one's sin. I know what the world teach. It says it's an outward sign of an inward grace. But 1 Peter 3:21 says there's an antitype that saves us now. Raise your hand, Mike. Raise your hand, Amelia. Raise your hand, Chris. Amen. Who else is a new one? You can put them down. They have obeyed from the heart the gospel. They went into the watery grave, and guess what God did? Spiritual operation. He forgave them of all of their sins, and I said to them, now forgive yourself and get on the right track. And then he adds you to the body of Christ, which is the church. Matthew 16:13-18. Colossians 1:18. Ephesians 1:22. Why all of the Bible? Because it says if I'm to speak, this is what I got to speak. If I'm to teach, this is what I got to teach. I want to encourage you, if you stand in need, whatever it might be, you know, I've learned that there are some things I just can't do by myself. I can't get to heaven without you. Amen. I can't stay on the right track without you. And so as long as I'm in this tent, I want to stir up our minds and remind us God is always watching us. See, I may not know your heart, but I know an individual that knows it. And in the day of judgment, what will he say to you? Will it be, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Or will it be, depart? It's not that I don't know you. I never knew you. If you're here and you stand in need, let it be known as together we stand and sing our song of encouragement.
We are going to see the King.
Hallelujah. Soon and very soon.
We are going to see the King.